I call to order the City Council Business Meeting of April 9th, 2024. City Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Roop.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes from our business meeting of March 12th, 2024. Were there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written.
Bless you.
Bless you. Okay, it's time for citizen comments. Mr. Foggy, if you would please come to the podium.
Yes, sir. My name is Stan Foggy. I live between 8 Hatteras Lane here in Simpsonville. Okay, well, I'm here to address the council. I just want to be brief here, and I am just the council over concerns over the utility contractors, specifically right-of-way easement. I've had my property dug up 7 times in the last 2 years, 4 times so far this month. And I understand the right-of-way easement and utilities, specifically with the Frontier Infrastructure Plan that's going around in Simpsonville now. I've had an endless loop of Frontier, Duke, and now I have a temporary line from Charter run across my property because of an issue that Frontier calls, which is repairing an issue that Duke calls. They're repairing the issue that Frontier calls. I am resigned to the fact that, you know, my property would never be leveled again, which is understandable. You know, I've been up since 1998. I got loans to Divis, pumps, whatever. Even though they say, you know, we'll fix it, we've never been there. As a property owner, you know it'll never be the same. My question is, with this last incident that happened a week ago, where Frontier came out to repair a job that Duke had done, they actually shorted out the spectrum cable to my entire road in my neighborhood when they know they were going to do so. But they had a job to do it specific for a point of time. I was told, well, it's not a big deal. It's just the dispatcher. No big deal. I bet it was a big deal to Spectrum because their heavy trucks had to come out, the emergency unit came out and worked through the night for over 5 hours just to run a temporary line. And I'm sure that Charter is going to charge Frontier for those man hours and that material. My question to the council is, for homeowners, why can't homeowners be incentivized or compensated for that right of easeway, especially when it gets redundant into the level of abuse? For instance, if this is Frontier, and they're digging in your yard, and then they do something with Duke, which I've had temporary lines from Duke run across my property to service my neighbor, why you can't get 30 days of free Duke service? Well, if it's Frontier, you cut Spectrum, why can't Frontier provide some type of service to the homeowner, some incentive? I mean, I'm thinking that if these utility companies can compensate each other for the faults and failures, why can't the homeowner also have some type of incentive? Not just for the inconvenience, it seems like an inconvenience to the utility company is no big deal. For someone who suffered through it over and over again, it becomes more than just an inconvenience. That was my question to the council. Why can't there be some kind of ordinance to protect the homeowner and incentivize the homeowner when the utility company repeatedly encroach upon your property? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foggy. Moving on to our business items. Item 6A. GCRA Annual Action Plan and Resolution. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. Good evening. This is the only reading necessary for Resolution 2024-03. This will set the expenditure of both Community Development Block Grant and home funding for the year beginning July 1. Nothing has changed since Committee of the Whole.
Thank you, Administrator Gracely. A motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve GCRA Annual Action Plan and Resolution 2024-03.
Have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with the second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6B, first reading of Z-2024-02, proposed rezoning of property located at 504 Boyd Avenue. Mr. Derby, will you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Council, Mayor. This is 504 Boyd Avenue. This is a request to go from this current zoning of business industrial to business general. Just a refresher, this was business general in 2017. After rezoned it to industrial for proposed use, that never came about, so that I'd like to have rezoned back to business general. Nothing has changed since the Committee of the Whole meeting. And I can answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. The motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve first reading of Z-2024-02, proposed rezoning of property located at 504 Boyd.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Roop. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So we learned a lot from the last meeting, but a couple of questions and concerns. So the idea of changing this from BI to BG is in favor of a salon that is located there, correct? Because it would have to be BG.
If you'd like to go back, so it would be with the current zoning designation that allows salons.
Okay. Is there a salon operating there now?
There is.
There is not?
There is.
Have you been there? There's nothing in that building.
They have a business license.
There's no business operating there.
Okay.
Kind of reminds me of the car wash or the laundromat, but there's no business operating there. So it seems to me like in order to be able to have a business or reestablish a business, because I think in the planning meeting, he said he was operating a salon there, but he's going to change his business model, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. Changing it to BG would facilitate the salon, but there's two other businesses there that fit squarely in the model of BI, correct?
The restoration services can go in both business general.
As a special condition?
Correct.
Do they meet the special condition of a BG?
They can, yes, sir.
How so?
They would have to, if it was traditional new business, it would have to go through a special exception process before zoning appeals.
So if you change it to BG, then they're out of compliance and they'd have to change to a BG based on their current condition.
No, they would be legal non-conforming. That's kind of how the hair salon went from permitted in BG going to BI. It would make them legal.
So the construction company, I would say, is under service construction. And under service construction special conditions, administrative offices for construction service shall be permitted by right within few of these MBG. The storage of materials and or vehicles is prohibited. So how would they be able to be a BG if they've got basically a BI condition right now? The other part of that too is this industrial company they have there as well, which is a radon company. They have vehicles parked behind the building, which are visible from the street. there's no fence as acquired in the BI. I'm just a little bit concerned. I'm not against the business for sure, but I'm not sure how it works. And even in the planning meeting, nobody asked the questions of what the other buildings did do. I mean, if, just to assume then, if they don't comply, they just be what you said, you know, legal non-compliant. I mean, how's that fair as a zoning requirement?
Well, there is requirements for PG to have screening and such that gets applied through the or zoning appeals. They apply through them explaining how they're going to set up their processes, where they're going to store their materials, how it's going to be screened. Through the BI, there's different criteria for how you had that set up. You are correct with that. But as it stands, the way they operate now, by allowing it to go BG back from, sorry, from BI to BG, you're creating a legal non-conforming issue. That's something you have to consider if that's what you want to do.
I've looked at this pretty hard. I've been out to the property. There's no salon operating there. They don't even have a website anymore. But he wants it to be BG because of the salon that's operating there, but it's not. And I'm assuming if he's changing his business model, if he had a business license and he's not operating, what happens then? I mean,
I don't think the requirement to have people inside the business. I think they operate off of appointments, is what he explained to me. So he's not there every day when people walk in, his wife has clients, say,
That place is empty. There's stuff outside the door. I mean, it's like they want to remodel. And if his idea is to change his business model, maybe he's getting ready to rebuild, but he does not have a salon there. So to go on, I just have a real hard time, not against businesses in general, but I'd have a hard time voting yes, because it doesn't seem like any of this business meets any of the zoning requirements. And during the planning meeting, nobody really looked into what those buildings actually were, and if we're going to, do we just allow them to operate under a BG when they're certainly in their business industrial? So that's all I've got. Thanks.
Councilmember Roche.
My question's
been answered. Okay. Councilmember Rupp.
I have a few follow-up questions as well. Did he mention at the last meeting, or perhaps you, did I make it up? I don't know. That he's planning on selling his property?
No, sir.
Wasn't the case.
What he expressed to me is that he wants to make sure it's set up that if he has vacancies, he can lease the property out better under BG than BI.
Okay. So when he switched back in 2017 to BI, his intentions were to build some type of manufacturing or something that didn't come to fruition, obviously. At what point, and here's where I'm confused, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, maybe you can educate me as well. At what point did he know that that building was not going in? It's 2024, so it's been 8 years. At what point did he come to the realization that he wasn't building it for him to come back to us to rezone it? And all the while, the last 8 years, he's been not followed up on as far as you changes to BI, why haven't you built this yet? That's kind of my overall confusion from the thing.
I don't have an answer. His other property that was part of that cover letter you mentioned, which you picked in about, mm-hmm. saying that he had two properties. There was two rezonings that went to planning commission, or were going to planning commission. One was 504 Boyd Avenue, mm-hmm. which he owns, and one 12 and 14 Pride Drive. He wanted to rezone both of those. That one on Pride Drive became vacant, I think, back in October. It's BI now, and he couldn't get anybody in there. So I guess he kind of panicked, knowing that this is easier to do it BG-wise and get more tenants. We talked to him beforehand and explained that you can petition for this, but from a staff level, we feel that that area needs to stay business industrial. So he withdrew his application at the meeting to not go forward with BI over there. So I think it's more of a future proofing the properties over there. But again, I can't speak on his behalf as far as why he didn't do it when he realized that the manufacturing job is not coming to Boyd Avenue. evaluated.
Couple of follow-up questions for Matt. So did the planning commission ask these questions? Any questions been presented tonight to you or from 2 weeks ago? Did the planning commission ask any of these kind of questions to the gentleman while he was here?
No, sir. Nothing was really discussed about Pride. He basically made a statement that I'd like to defer my petition for rezoning. The Boyd Avenue, we did discuss about what's there currently. He explained that it was a hair salon in one building and the restoration of the other. They explained the background when he purchased the property.
Okay. Well, again, we're trying to make decisions here based on planning commission's recommendations. And we don't really have a recommendation because a lot of questions weren't asked. And that's been a concern of mine anyway. The other concern I have is the city supposed to be checking these things to make sure that people aren't compliant with how they are zoned? As far as when he put in for that 2017, is there some type of follow-up system that we check on these things to make sure that he's getting in compliant? If not, we have to say, you need to go back. It seems like he realized this on his own accord and came to us. Now it's a snowball. I think he meant to. But it has opened my eyes to a lot of things that how we do things here in the city and perhaps how many businesses right now are operating out of compliance from zoning issues. So that's, I don't know if you can answer that. Is there anything in place, or should we perhaps put things in place moving forward when people rezone, especially for something like this from a VG to a PI?
No, there's nothing really in place. That if someone wants to purchase a piece of property for future investment, they have, you know, ambitions. They might explain that at a meeting of why they wanted to rezone. They don't have to. They're not held to that timeline of having to build that neighborhood or that building or that manufacturing. As far as compliance or zoning, that could be basically inspection just driving through the area. Many times I've gone to a business that's opening up, they do a certificate of occupancy inspection. While I'm there or I'm in the area and I notice something that typically is not allowed, I definitely, you know, take that into consideration and investigate that a little further by notifying that owner that you're working outside what zoning allows, screening, amount of businesses, signage, things like that, and that's kind of how I kind of enforce the zoning as far as getting properties into conformity, but it's kind of hard. It's me.
Yeah, okay.
We're all business in the city, so it's basically once you're out there, you kind of do the area around that, but as far as keeping up with it, we have nothing.
So he doesn't have to follow up with plans, say, here's my plans that I've submitted, here's how far I've come with this project since I've rezoned. There's nothing in place for that.
Just until whenever he's ready to submit plans to build, it's got to be within what the zoning is at the time that he submits.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Councilmember over here. Just forgive my name for saying that. I'm pretty good about, open-minded about moving things from committee the whole to business meetings. To give everyone a fair shake, but this has seemed extremely odd from the start. And looking more into it, like Councilman Pinkerton, I've been by the property myself. There's no beauty salon there. It's got a sign. But what I don't understand, I guess, to get back to the start of this, is, you know, how did we even get here? Because, you know, there's really, I think, two things that could have happened. You know, if that salon was there prior to the 2017 rezone, then as soon as it was rezoned, it was immediately out of compliance, but it's still there. But if the business existed before or if it was approved, the business came in after, it was out of compliance immediately. So it's never been in compliance one way or the other. So how did a business get in there being out of compliance on either side of that issue? And it's concerning to me that there isn't a follow-up. If you approve something, I guess we're taking the word for people to actually do what they say they're going to do. This just hasn't looked right from the start, and it's really because of the whole timing thing that I just explained. you know, how did the city approve the initial rezone request from general to industrial if you already had a general business sitting there? So as soon as you approve that, the general business is automatically out of compliance. So why did we do that?
That was for my time.
Yeah, so that's the question. And if we did that, we did it with knowledge. I mean, it's not like it was hiding from anyone. We knew that it was already a business general. And we knew that that was a business general business. But we agreed to the industrial anyways. So we've been running out of compliance for, what's it, 8 years now? 8 years we've been running out of compliance. And, you know, I didn't even know until today, and I went back by there again, I didn't know there was another business running out of there, a radon business. I looked at the website, it's 504 Boyd. Is that even registered with the city? That business was registered at that location. That was never brought up. Was that brought up to the Planning Commission?
Don't put that particular name on top of my head.
Yeah, so we've got multiple things going on at the same property. Some need to be industrial, some need to be general. And so we're right back to where we started from. So it looks like to me, and I'm not trying to be accusatory by any stretch, but it looks like we're trying to use a defunct business to anchor a business general rezone.
Just for a little clarification, the radon company is owned as a construction service, not industrial service. This actual company was zoned on Northeast Main Street around the 720 block, and they got a special exception for that location, the radon and the Greenville restoration.
Radon, and the other one is Cal and Concrete.
Concrete, sorry. They were both got a special exception for BG as a construction service. We define them as construction manufacturing. And just for clarity purposes, it's not a radon that they're, you know, holding that type of chemical, things like that.
Oh, I understand what it is.
Yeah, for testing purposes.
Yeah, I get it. My brother does stuff like that. So I understand.
I have the applicant here. If you want to ask him direct questions about the timelines, that was before me when they got rezoned from 2017, that the use is already in there. Just for other clarification, there are a lot of businesses that are in the city. Example I used last time is Muffin Man. In 2012, 2013, we rezoned pretty much the whole city to new designations. So a lot of properties got changed that day to BG that were operating as manufacturing. Those are what we wanted to go in those locations. So we've done that before. I don't know, again, that was before my time, 2017, how the actual rezoning took place with the properties, what the uses are.
Mr. Derby, a point of clarification. When that rezoning happened, then Muffin Man became legal non-conforming.
Correct. Yes.
I'm with Councilman Roop. I mean, 8 years, that's a long gap of I understood for election and I had to come pick up signs from here more than once. So they're on that, like, you know, flies on, you know what. But 8 years worth of having someone out of compliance, I don't understand. So I think we need to look at our processes a lot and how we get to situations like this. And the fact that there's really nothing coming out of the Planning Commission that helped me in any way, shape, or form tells you something else too. You know, the three-line blurb and your write-up. And we discussed this at the Committee of the Whole. There's just nothing to go on. So it leaves us to go out and do what I don't mind doing. But, you know, there's just got to be a better way to arrive at these decisions than this. So we just need to look at our processes more. Thanks.
Councilmember Roche.
While I agree with some of the comments that have been made about what's taken place, I feel like, you know, something fell through the cracks here. Has it been a major issue? Absolutely not. I didn't even know this property was back there until this came before council. So I don't think anybody lost any sleep in the last 8 years over whether or not this was BG or BI. The taxes, I see them is that this has been requested by the owner of the property. It seems that yourself is in favor of going ahead and correcting this at this time. It lines up with our comprehensive plan, correct? Okay, so that would bring that into compliance. And it would bring it into compliance for zoning. I noticed there's a school nearby. I think personally, I'd much rather have business general than industrial next to a school. And for all their failures, Planning Commission did approve it. For all those reasons, I think it's much better that we go ahead and make it right, bring it into compliance now so we don't have problems in the future for development or sale of this property. And so I can't see cutting off our nose to spite our faces. We should just go ahead and make this right, so I intend to vote yes.
Council? So one thing I think that we need to discuss here, that we need to be very, very clear about. We are not approving a beauty shop. Neither is the Planning Commission. The example that I want to go back to that came before this council several years ago is a piece of property over on, I think it's industrial, I'm not sure where. But at the time it came in front of the council, came from the Planning Commission, came in front of the council, the man was wanting to do something with kayaks. He was going to do kayaks in the building. Nothing happened there. It got rezoned and nothing happened. And then it eventually became a gymnastics studio. So both of those businesses would have been within the zoning classification. All that the Planning Commission is doing is recommending a zoning classification and anything that would be allowed within that zoning classification. So it doesn't matter whether it's a beauty shop or a florist or, you know, whatever, something that would be in compliance with that particular zoning. So I think we need to always keep that in mind when we're talking about a rezoning. The only time that we get approval and somebody has to stick to the exact plan is when we're doing the innovative development. Every other thing is just a zoning which allows, you know, it allows everything unless it's specifically not allowed. So the other thing that I think that needs to be very, very clear, which I think a lot of council members are having trouble understanding, is that legal non-conforming is legal. It's not out of compliance. It's legal, and it specifically happens most of the time because things are getting grandfathered in. The zoning changed underneath the feet of the business operator. Muffin Man was a good example of that. So we need to keep that in mind too, that there was nothing surreptitious or suspicious about this change from business general to business industrial, or anything suspicious about the request to change it back. And what the Planning Commission is considering is the zoning, not what is actually in place on that piece of property. That is up to our codes enforcement people and our business licensing people, who, when somebody applies for a business license, the zoning gets checked to make sure that that is in compliance with the zoning on that piece of property. Am I correct, Mr. Drew?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Pinkley.
Just to be clear, though, again, I've already asked this question, but the two operating businesses that are actually operating now are legal under BI, and if you bring it into BG, it'll be legal non-conforming. But do they have to still go through the process of acquiring that BG, or is it just assumed that they're legal non-conforming? Because it's, now you've introduced a situation.
So you're not required to go to a special exception now. That if you allow that to continue operating as is, they've always done it, just the designation change from BI to BG.
And there's no requirement for those two businesses to ask to be in BG. That's my question.
I'm sorry.
There's no requirement now that these two businesses be allowed to be in a BG, even though they don't meet the requirements. They don't even meet the BI requirements for some of these things right now.
Okay. The when you change the zoning, like we're doing tonight, or trying to do like the other ones have, they're going to be allowed to operate as they currently are. The standards that you would have in a typical BG, like construction services, through special exceptions, we would not allow them, require them to go back to any process for that. They're basically, it's not the use we're trying to get in there, it's the zoning designation with PG.
At what point would any of this be in violation, which is right at the beginning of the standards? Is there anybody ever brought under a violation for a zoning requirement if it's legal but non-conforming?
If it's been passed through council through a zoning change, they're allowed to operate continuously. Just like we have a lot of signage in the town that's not allowed to be reinstalled. As long as they stay within their parameters, what they originally permitted, they continue. That's what legal non-conforming is. So as long as they don't expand their site, change the way they operate, they continuously use it, no matter how the zoning has changed. It's not their fault.
Okay, thank you.
Council. So just as an example, I believe it was last year that we revoked the business license of a business that was not legal non-conforming. They were operating a business that was not conforming with the zoning where they were. And there were more factors in it besides that non-conformance, but the point is that in that case, it went as far as, sorry, you can't do business at that location anymore. So yes, we do enforce it.
Yes.
Any more discussion? On the motion to approve on first reading of Z-2024-02, proposed rezoning of property located at 504 Boyd Avenue, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
City Clerk Clark, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember O'Rear?
No.
Councilmember Root?
Yes.
Councilmember Williams?
Yes.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
No.
Councilmember Hutchings?
No.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes. Motion is approved by a vote of 4-3. With that concludes all of our business for this evening. And if there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.